This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
The views expressed by guests on this program do not necessarily represent the views of the host or owners of the Doggy Diva Show and do not necessarily constitute endorsement of products. Medical information discussed by guests on this program are those of the guests and is only for informational purposes and should not replace medical advice by your local veterinarian professional.
Hi, this is Susan Marie from the Doggy Diva Show. This week, protecting your pets from parasites and the latest from best-selling author Diane Harmon. That's what's on our show this week. Let's get started.
Hey, did you hear that? What is that?
It's the bark heard round the world. The Doggy Diva Show. Here's national award-winning author and animal advocate, Susan Marie.
Hi, welcome to the Doggy Diva Show, the show for animal lovers. I'm your host, Susan Marie, and as always, I'm joined by my canine co-hosts, the Doggy Divas themselves, Francesca, Coco, and our newest little diva, Miss Olive. Miss Olive is the cute little Italian Greyhound rescue in the picture with the microphone. Thank you for joining us today as we bring the experts in the pet and animal world right to you. Contact us at thedoggydiva.com. That's the thedoggydiva.com. We love hearing from you. So go grab a cup of coffee and your pet's favorite treat, and we'll be back in just a moment.
How many of you have pets? My hand's raised. Now think about how lucky you are to have such a sweet little pet in your life, and that pet is lucky to have you too. But unfortunately, there are countless pets out there that don't have a home to call their own. However, Bob's from Skechers is trying to change that. So we developed Bob's for Dogs and Cats to help pets in need. With every purchase of adorable Bob's footwear or fun, stylish apparel, or even the cutest Bob's pet accessories, Skechers makes a donation to Petco Love to help save shelter pets. And with your help, we've already saved the lives of over 1 million pets and raised over $7 million. So while you're getting style and comfort with features like Skechers' famous memory foam cushioning, you're also helping to save an adorable pet in need and helping another lucky owner be connected with a future best friend and companion. Because happiness is having a loving pet by your side. Find Bob's at a Skechers store, Skechers.com, select Petco locations, or wherever stylish footwear is sold.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Doggy Diva Show. I am here with Monica Layton, president of Professional Pet Sitting, with a very important piece of information because, Monica, I think sometimes we get all confused as pet parents as far as like parasites with our pets. So can you share with us the importance of testing for parasites?
Absolutely. So I have to laugh because nobody loves talking about poop. I mean, it's like one of the least favorite things when it comes to owning pets, but
we know it runs our life.
It's part of life. And honestly, we get, when we're scheduling our appointments in the office, you know, for their vaccines and things like that, we're reminding people, you know, please bring us in a stool sample. And so many of them are like, oh, I didn't do it. I hate picking it. I don't like to touch it. I don't want to bring it in. And I totally 100% get that. Absolutely. However, a lot of people don't realize how important that truly, truly is. So the AVMA, they recommend, because of the, even for pets that are on preventions year round, that pets are parasite tested. So meaning the stool sample for internal parasites. So that's like your hookworms, your roundworms, your whipworms, tapeworms. And then also not only worms, but parasites. So you can have things like Giardia, Coccidia. There's a lot of different things out there that get into our soils, that come off of droppings of wild animals, and our pets will walk through it. Or if they're anything like my dogs, they'll run around and eat the bunny poop in the backyard. But they can pick up on things, and you don't always get all of that with your preventatives. So you have, you know, the best pet owners. You had an example yesterday. One of our extremely, extremely good clients is in the office. They are on top of their pets all the time, making sure they get the best care. They've got 4 big Labrador retrievers, and they brought their stool sample in, you know, for their visit, and it came back positive for hookworms. Mm. And they're like, oh my gosh, what are we doing wrong? Like, we made sure they were getting their prevention every single month. You know, we pick up the stool out of the yard. Like, I don't understand what's going on. And the problem is that not all preventives can cover higher infestations. And a lot of it depends on where you're located, you know, geographically, and also what is around you. So they live in an area that has a lot of undeveloped land around them, and they get a lot of wildlife through, you know, raccoons and different things as such. And the prevention that they were using, albeit as a good prevention, it just wasn't covering the infestation that they had. So they were doing everything correct, and their pet still, you know, was having hookworms. Now, the pet showed absolutely no signs of illness, nothing. So they would not have known if they had not bring that fecal sample in. Now, the majority of veterinarians try their best to get pet owners to bring the fecals in once a year. We do fecal samples for free. It's included in our yearly vaccine package twice a year for all of our clients, just because it's so important. But the majority out there, you know, have a hard time just getting the samples in once a year. So if you can imagine, even though that pet was asymptomatic now, by the time it had come in a year later and didn't have, you know, any kind of parasite testing, the amount of damage that that parasite could have done inside the body could have been a big problem for something that's a very easy fix.
Wow.
So that's why I always tell people, you know, it's extremely important to get those in. It is no fun doing. Trust me, we know, we understand, but it is so vitally important. And one thing that I always tell clients, check in your area. Like, there is a really, really, really great website, and it's called petsandparasites.org. And you can literally type in your zip code and go to a map, and it'll tell you what the levels of each parasite in your area. And it's like specifically like down here, for example, when, you know, with us being in Florida, we don't get those harsh, harsh winters that kill some of those worms and parasites naturally. They thrive in our specific climate. And when you get wild animals that have that and they're trotting through your yard, they're going to the bathroom, it's dissolving into your yard, then it's spreading in your soil. And then your pets are walking through the soil, they're licking their paws, and there you go.
Yeah, that's, and I think that people don't even realize that, Monica. They think, oh, I keep my yard all picked up, my dog's waste is gone, and all it takes is, we live near, it's like a nature preserve, so we have everything coming through our yard, and we hose down the yard. We pick everything up that we find in the morning before we even let them out. And it's like, it's being proactive, and bringing in the stool sample is definitely a part of being proactive in all this.
And the other thing is that, you know, and again, they were on a prevention. You expect those to do their job, but it's just like any other medication out there on the market, human, pet, whatever. There's certain drugs that are going to excel at certain things, and then there's some that are just going to manage it. So if in your specific location you have in particular a high burden of, let's just say, hookworms, okay, so if your area has a high burden of hookworms, then one of the medications or supplements that you're on may not be the best one to cover for high burdens of hookworms. Like, for example, the client that I was talking about, they were on Revolution, they had no problem with it with any of their other pets. It had done them well for years. But the same company, Zoetis, that makes Revolution also makes ProHeart and Simparica and other drugs. And they have other drugs that actually do a better job at controlling that particular worm. So all we had to do was switch our prevention to one that was a little more, you know, more capable of handling the burden of that worm that she had in her area. So knowing what is in your area is important too. And talk to your vet about that, you know, because they should be able to tell you. As long as you live close to your vet's office, you know, you could go on, see what's high in your area. They're going to know what they see a lot of in the practice. And, you know, make sure that whatever you're on is something that does handle a high burden of that. And also know that, like, these clients that came in and have this issue, they did not have to pay for their fecal sample testing. They did not have to pay for their worming treatment. And they did not have to pay for their retesting. It was all done for free by Zoetis because they guarantee their products when they're sold in a veterinarian. So if you purchase your, you know, your preventatives from a veterinary office, they come with a 100% guarantee. So not only will they refund you the product and switch you to something else or fix the problem, they'll cover your testing, your treatment, everything.
That's so important. And I think people aren't even aware of that. So I'm glad you brought that up. And Monica, before we go, what is that website so people can go so that they know what parasites are more prone to be in their area?
Yes, it's petsandparasites.org.
Very important. Well, Monica, thank you again. This is a very important tip. And I think that people, sometimes they think, oh, it's going, we're going into the winter. Well, if you're in certain parts of the country, that the winter for us may not be winter for for the parasites. So it's very important to check that out and also work with your vet. Don't be afraid to bring in that stool sample. So Monica, thank you very much.
Thank you. Have a great week.
You too. We'll be back in just a moment. Hello, everyone. Susan Marie and Miss Olive here to introduce Miss Olive's third book in the Doggy Diva Diaries, the trilogy of heartwarming and inspirational stories about Miss Olive, a lonely little rescue pup hoping to find her forever family and friends and a life filled with love. In the third book in the series, Miss Olive finds her forever winter wonderland. Miss Olive wonders about the true meaning of the holidays, and she discovers that the greatest gift of all is the joy of giving and sharing love and kindness with her forever family and friends. Miss Olive finds her forever winter wonderland is available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, other book retailers, and on our website, thedoggydiva.com. Miss Olive and I are wishing you all a happy holiday season filled with kindness, joy, and love. Thank you, everyone. Coming up, the latest from award-winning and best-selling author Diane Harmon. Stay with us.
Molly, here's your dinner. Zeus, that's not your food.
Don't let that happen to your precious cat. Elevate your cat's eating experience with the Cat Tree Tray. The Cat Tree Tray keeps your cat's food off the floor and conveniently located on the cat tree. It's the perfect way to eat. It's a beautiful wrought iron tray that easily attaches to your cat tree and keeps dogs and other critters out of your cat's dish. A must for multi-pet households. There's a 6-inch tray for large bowls and a 4-inch tray for smaller bowls. Purchase your Cat Tree Tray today. Go right now to cattreetray.com. That's cattreetray.com. CATTREETRAY.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Doggy Diva Show. Best-selling and award-winning author Diane Harmon draws her stories and characters from her diverse and interesting business and personal background. Diane's cozy mysteries feature dogs and maybe a few kitties here and there, yummy food, awesome recipes, and of course, mystery. And her books top the Cozy Mystery Amazon chart and is number one with USA Today. She's a best-selling author, and she is here with us today. And I have to tell you, to be totally transparent, I refer to Diane as the queen of the cozy mysteries. So here with us today,
thank you,
Diane Harmon. Welcome back, Diane.
Thank you. It's good to be here again, and I appreciate you having me on.
Oh, no. Are you kidding me? My Kindle would kill me if I didn't have you on, because our books, those books just come downloaded. My pre-orders come. I'm all ready to go. So for the listeners who may be new and aren't familiar with you, can you just tell them a little bit about your professional, your personal background? It's so diverse and very interesting.
Well, it is diverse. I originally was an antique and art appraiser, and I had, you know, a large international company for a while, and then I became rather disenchanted with people, and I dealt with very wealthy clients. I was very fortunate to have an insurance company that did high-end insurance, and so the people often were very attached to their things. And I remember one appraisal where I came in at about $1.2 million and she was just horrified. What would she tell her friends? I was at that point, I thought, you know, I can't do this anymore. So I did a 180 and opened two yoga store shops, if you will, studios, and did that for a while. And then my husband got into politics, so I became a political wife. And the day he retired, and I put out my first book, and it has been going since then. So it was a few life changes in there.
So now, how did all of this, because I mean, I read it in your books, there's a lot of it in there, but how did this influence your writing?
I don't think, well, I should not. For me, there's bound to be tidbits of whatever in my writing. You know, you talk to someone, mm-hmm. they say something, a situation that you encountered. One of my series deals with an antique and art appraiser. Mm-hmm. Yep. And so, yes, that's going to come into play. Some of the ones I was on, of course, I changed the names to protect the guilty, if you will. So that never comes back to haunt me. But I remember the very first antique appraisal I did, a woman contacted me and wanted me to do her Avon collection. Now, people do collect Avon, and there are some pieces that are quite, you know, pricey, if you will. But her whole house was Avon, and she had erected pedestals with lights from the ceiling, uh-huh. for things. And I looked at them, and most of them were very, very common items. And I told her, I said, you know, I'm afraid that the cost of the appraisal is going to be more than what your collection is worth. And she didn't care. She was wrapped up, and that was the start of my appraisal business. So some of those things do come into play. And politics, sure. Some of my books are politics. Having been there, having been behind the scenes, you know, I have some life experience to draw on from that. A lot of the books have attorneys in them. I think I'm the only one in the family that is not an attorney and didn't want to be an attorney. I figure they keep me around because they need me for something various. But those are things I know, too. So, sure, you're bound to do that. Some take place in California because I know that well. My son and daughter-in-law lived for 20 years in Seattle. One of my series takes place in the Northwest because having visited it so much, I'm pretty comfortable with that. Colorado's in one of mine because I actually lived my first few years there in Denver. So yes, you're bound to, I think, bring a lot of your life experiences in. So saying, that's for the type of books that I write. If you're in dystopian or sci-fi or something, I don't see how they can. I've always been kind of curious about that because they're creating a completely different world.
Well, and to that, now, some of the listeners may not be familiar. You know, we're talking cozy mystery. What is the difference between a cozy mystery and like a mystery or a thriller or something?
That's a very good question, and one that I really was not aware of when I began to write. I started out with suspense books, and an editor of mine said, you know, you really should go into the cozy mysteries because you always have dogs in your books, and you have great food and everything. And so I read a few cozy mysteries, and yes, I thought that's what I do. Essentially, they are books, they're mysteries, but there's no gore. The sex is behind closed doors, and they're clean in that there's no swearing or things like that. They're the kind of books you could give your great aunt and feel comfortable.
And she won't give you side eye going, what?
Exactly. No rolling the eyeballs.
No rolling the eyeballs. Now, one of the things that I love, and this is what drew me to you, is that you have dogs, and I mean they're actual characters in your books. It's not like a dog running through the yard or this. They're actual characters in the book. What inspired you to like have dogs? And I mean, and you have many series and dogs are in your series. All there's different dogs for different series. What inspired you to do that? Because I love that.
Probably because I can't imagine a time in my life when we have not had dogs. They've been just a part of our family, always, always. And I think dogs are incredibly astute. They sense your moods. They sense what's going on. They let you know when, in my case, my husband's probably down the street three blocks because the dog will get up and go to the top of the stairs. So, and that just kind of went, because I love them. And a lot of people feel like I do. They're part of the family. So I thought I just had to put them in.
And you put them in, and they all have like kind of a pivotal piece. Some of them help to solve the mysteries. And
definitely.
Yeah. And I find that to be very, I love it. It's entertaining to me. And I know that a lot of people who are animal lovers, that type of thing, you know, it gives them that little extra. And you're not only having a cozy mystery, yeah, but you have that little extra layer. And going into the extra layer, and I think we kind of touched on this before, you've traveled all over the world, and I sort of live vicariously through your travels when I'm reading your books, but how have they influenced your characters and the destinations? Like, I know that one of my favorite is Chef Dani Rossetti, and she was over in France. It was the one before Jupiter.
Chateau at the Chateau.
Yes.
France, I visited Provence several years ago and was there for a couple of weeks, and I became fascinated by that area. Dani Rossetti came about. I was beginning a series, ready to do a new series, and I've never been one to write to market. It's called, you know, what's the hottest thing going, and then you write a book about it. That just, I mean, people were doing that with the pandemic, and I think they all fell flat on their face. But, you know, who wants to read about something you're experiencing?
Yeah, escape. You want to escape.
Exactly. I think cozy mystery authors do want, or readers do want to.
Yes.
So I did something I've never done before. I have a large newsletter, and I said, I'm getting ready to write a new series, and I'm curious, what would you like to see as far as character, etc.? Surprising, very surprising to me was a number of them said, we do not want a woman who is dependent on a man. Don't want her to be married. Let her be self-sufficient. And would love to see different parts of the world. And that's what spawned the series. And I love it because I get to find out about these different places and write about mainly where I've been, but do it in a completely different way. And then she has an interchange with the niece who she had to take on when her brother died. So I think it has, you know, quite a different dimensions in it, but that's where the idea came from. I wouldn't call it writing to market, but writing to what your readers want to read about. And
oh,
I think there's
yeah.
a difference. And I think there's a difference.
Well, and when I know that when you did the that it was just so beautiful, and there was a wedding involved, and I don't want to spoil it for anybody who hasn't read it, but I mean the description, you do beautiful descriptions, and of course you have amazing food and recipes. I always have to have something in my hand to eat when I'm reading your books because I go, oh my gosh, I'm so hungry. And I do your recipes too. I love, my husband loves that. But what inspired you to have, because you have these amazing, like real recipes in there. Can you just tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. I mentioned that my husband was in politics, and as such, he was a senator in California. So we had a home in Sacramento where we lived when he was in session up there. And I thought, as long as I'm up here, I might as well do some entertaining. And none of the other wives were there. They were either had jobs or whatever. And maybe there were one or two, but they didn't do anything. I thought, I'm going to start entertaining. And so we did. And we entertained 2 to 3 times a week. And I actually did fundraisers for my husband, 5-course dinners in our home. And we do them for 30 people one night and 30 the next. And I learned how to do it for kind of mass catering, if you will, which is probably what, you know, Danny, some of that is about. But I had to try out new recipes, which I always did on us before I served them. And they had to be, when you're charging money for a fundraiser, it's got to be above a hamburger. And so, you know, I learned to cook things that I hadn't, and I had a good time with it. I think my most special moment, though, was something I learned when it was February and we were, having a fundraiser back to back. And I had thought I'd make manicotti and do an Italian theme. So I made 60 manicottis, and 30 of them we were going to have the first night, 30 the second. Well, the temperature went berserk and went into the 80s. Well, I didn't have enough refrigerator space, so I froze a bunch of those little blue icy things and put them in the oven. And then I put all of the manicotti in the oven. And I thought that was probably my finest moment.
Now that's ingenuity.
Thank you. So yes, I've had to learn a lot.
Well, and you put, and I noticed that some other authors have now started to do this with their books, but you actually put your whatever we're reading about, you put the recipe in the back of the book. And I also have your cookbook that you did. I love that.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. But what we're reading about, you actually cook. So can you tell us,
absolutely,
'cause these recipes are amazing that you have in the back of the book. They're not hard, but they're delicious. I mean, reading the characters eating the meal and savoring over the meal, like, makes you go, oh my gosh. And there it is at the back of the book.
Well, I've always loved to cook and I love to eat. And so that was just kind of a natural for me. And I thought, if I enjoy it that much, and since this is kind of, to me, a cozy mystery is kind of a warm thing. Food is a warm thing to me. I've got dogs in it. People are eating as life goes on, so let's do some recipes in the back. And that's kind of how it came about. It wasn't anything I did a business plan for and said I'm going to write books, you know, and put dogs in them and put recipes. It was all kind of organic. What I'm doing, I thought, I'll bet somebody'd like that recipe. I know my family sure did, or, you know, when I entertained, and that's where they came from.
Well, and it's interesting because you just hit on something. When you don't like turn it into like a business plan or lay it all out, like, okay, this is going to click, this is going to click, this is going to click. When it all just comes together without planning the clicks, it, like the dogs in the stories, the food in the stories, and the characters in the stories. And what I want to get to also is you have a number of series, and people tend to get, I think, emotionally connected, or they understand your characters and the different, whether it is their different businesses, their hobbies, their pets, and they're all key characters in the book. In your recent release, Confusion at the Convention, you actually brought characters from 2 years series, the Northwest Cozy Mystery Series and the Cottonwood Springs Cozy Mystery Series. You brought them together for a reason, in which you could tell us about. But could you tell us about why you did this, why you brought them together, and a little bit what the book's about?
I thought there was a little bit of synergy between the two couples as far as solving mysteries, and it just seemed kind of a good way to integrate, whether down the road they'll get together again or something, I don't know. But having attended a number of conventions or conferences, they can be great or they can be lousy. And, you know, you sit through those things, and I thought, almost everyone has to go to business meetings if you're in the business world at all, sometimes for more than a day. But what if something unique happened there? And so this was a perfect venue for the two book people to come together. And I do love the dog in the book, and I think you will too. Camilla, the coonhound.
The coon, I know, I love that.
She is very, very seminal in this book. So you were saying earlier about the dogs have part. It wouldn't have been solved without the dog in this one.
And that's what I love about your books, because they're actual characters. And to be totally transparent, you had featured Miss Olive, and she helped solve the mystery in her book. Yes.
She was very seminal in it. And I think, you know, just make them a part. You were talking about series and how you get to know the people. Probably one reason I write series is I read voraciously. And when I'm getting a book and I see a new book out by an author I really like, I go, oh wow, it's in that series, I know all those people. And it's just like old friends.
That's what it is. It's like old friends, and you get to know, you know where they live. I mean, you're very descriptive in like their home lives, their habits, their business, their pets. So it's like you get to be, you're like a part of their lives. And that's
exactly
why you look forward to the next book, to find out what their new adventure is going to be, what's going to happen within the family, how the pet's going to react. So, and that's what I found fascinating about this book, that you brought two characters together from two different books that are very well liked in their own series, and then you brought them together for this book with, of course, Camilla the Coonhound. And it's like a cosmic joy.
Oh, that's a good term. I really like that. I'm going to use that. Thank you. One thing I do try to do is to address some of the things that are going on in the world, not to bring a downer sense, but I'm thinking of one of the books that is in the same series that Miss Olive was in, which is the High Desert mm-hmm. series. And it's found out that a man had a child he didn't know he'd had. And that happens in life, mm-hmm. particularly with all the DNA testing. We're certainly seeing that. Well, what are the ramifications of that? You know, what would someone do if that happened, and how did it come about? And so, but not in a horrible way or anything. Just this is part of life too. You know, divorce is part of life. Stepchildren are part of life, and that happens. And in fact, in the Cottonwood Springs Cozy Mystery Series, Holly, who becomes the daughter of Bridget. Who is the you know, one of the women who is in the book, the convention. Holly's mother is murdered in a church, and she becomes an orphan. Well, that happens. Maybe not for murder, but that happens. And then what? So while, you know, it may be dogs and roses and things like that, there are some life things I do try to deal with.
And you do it really well. And while we're talking about Holly, I mean, that's one of my favorite series, because it calls out to my inner Nancy Drew, and I'm sure so many of us cozy mystery lovers, the Holly Lewis series. It really, it's kind of like a modern day Nancy Drew. I'm going to ask you what we can look forward to, because I know you have a new one coming out pretty soon. But in the Holly series, I notice that you also, there always seems to be a social awareness, but it's layered
yes.
into the story. It doesn't hit you over the head, but it's layered into
Thank
the story,
you.
And it's like a real life thing, challenge or understanding that she's going through or her friends are going through, and they're real things. So I appreciate that you do that. And I think
well,
with the Holly
I appreciate
series,
that
it's
you
important.
Picked up on it.
Yeah, no,
I appreciate
of course
you picked
I
up
do.
On it. The newest one that will be out next month is Holly and the Stolen Phone. And it deals with her friend's phone, which is stolen, which, you know, seems like, who cares?
Mm-hmm.
But it becomes much more than that, because Collie gives her word to her friend that she will find it before the end of the school year. Well, those are seminal times for learning lifelong things that do you honor those later or do you not? You know, what kind mm-hmm. I think you become the person often from what happens in those teen years. And if you give your word and you renege on it, does that become a pattern? If you give your word and you do everything you can, is that not a better pattern? I don't, it's not moralistic, but I suppose in some ways there is a little of that in. So yeah, I'm trying to bring in some things that certainly having had children, and I have grandchildren, I see some of these things too in their formative years.
Yeah, no, and the way you incorporate it into the Holly series, and just to touch really briefly on the Dani Rossetti, I know that her last book was at Jupiter Island, which is right. You know, near where I am, and you incorporated my beloved manatees because, of course, she has a niece, and her niece has become very socially and eco-aware of things, and the things that she was learning, and she's a young girl, I think she's 10 years old.
Correct.
And she is learning things, and the way you incorporated that, and again, it was a nice little gentle layering in, and I was like so appreciative because, yeah, being from the area, I'm very protective, and I love my manatees and also all of the eco issues that go around where we are. So I thank you for doing that. But again, you layer it in very nicely, and it's something that you're just like going, oh, I didn't know about that. If you don't know about it, it's a nice little gentle awakening. So I appreciate that.
Thank you. It's certainly nothing that I start out with a book and say, oh, I'm going to address mm-hmm. some ecological. It becomes very organic. When I'm in the middle of a book, it's as if I'm with the characters. They're talking to me. I'm seeing them. I'm right there. So there's not a big step away from my characters and the writing of it. It's kind of all one process for me. I remember one time my husband called me my first book and said, I'm going to come home for lunch, okay? And I said, sure, fine. He said, what's wrong? You're crying. And I said, well, Maria was raped. And there was just this pause. And he said, Diane, you're the author. You don't need to do this. Oh, yes, I do.
But that says a lot about you. And that's why the, I guess we'll call it the organicness, the gentle layering of things that happen in real life that you bring into your books. It's not like you go, okay, well, I'm going to write this book and in it, I'm going to make sure that Holly does this or her friend does that or this one does this or this one does that. They kind of naturally come together.
Yes.
It just naturally comes together. And as an author, I respect you for doing that and the way that you do it because it doesn't. Sometimes people respond differently when things are like planked out and laid on their head as opposed to just having things because they'll go like, oh, I didn't know
yes.
that. Or, oh my gosh, I'll have to look into that. It's like a natural, it's something natural that you incorporate into your stories. So I always appreciate that because I appreciate social awareness, but I appreciate it in like a real life situation where people are organically going through it. So I think that, and that's what you do. You do a marvelous job at that, as well as writing these cozy mysteries.
Thank you.
So now, where can the listeners go to learn more about you? And I mean, all of your amazing stories, you have a lot of series and just characters that people are going to fall in love with, let alone their dogs.
Oh, thank you. Amazon, certainly, just type in Diane, D-I-A-N-N-E. Harman, H-A-R-M-A-N. It'll take you to my author page. It should, and or any of the books. And you can see what I've written there, the different series. Also, I have a website. It's DianeHarman.com, very simple. And that has my books on it as well as a little about me. Certainly, BookBub, there's a web page there, a page. I have an author page there. So I'm out there and you know, please, you know, feel free to get in touch with me. And at the end of all my books, I have my email too. So if someone wants to get in touch with me, that's fine. I probably have 50 emails a week from at least from readers and, you know, saying they liked a book or, gee, that wasn't my cup of tea or have you thought about doing this or whatever. And I enjoy the feedback. I really do. It helps me to avoid certain things, although I can't think of anything I've really avoided from that. But I like to know what people are thinking.
Well, and that's what makes you so special. And I am on your newsletter distribution, so I love it. I love knowing what's next. I just load it right into my Kindle, and when I wake up, my order's already in there, but it gives me something to look forward to. I'm telling you, my Kindle, it goes right to your name. It already knows.
That's so kind of you. It really is. Thank you. You know, this is, I look at my husband, he looks at me and goes, you know, this wasn't in our plan. How did this happen? You know, you're up there writing, you know, 7 days a week, and we're doing this and that. The only thing I regret with the pandemic is I have loved to travel. And almost every book that I have that is in a foreign country, foreign place, or, you know, even Kauai, I've been there. So I can't write about something that I don't know. But I did find a man in England. We were conversing, and I mentioned this about the pandemic, that just can't be traveling. And he said, well, you know, I've really been in northern England a lot. Would you like me to send you some information on that? I said, well, I'd appreciate it. And he said, I've actually been, you know, where Bram Stoker was and all of this stuff. So he wrote me reams of it, and Murder in England.
I was just going to say, that's where Murder in England came. Oh my gosh.
And Seychelles did the same thing. He'd spent a lot of time there. And I'm very appreciative for his input, because it's very much, he does it the way I would want to do it, in that you're right there with it when you're reading. And then, you know, I incorporated the things he sent me into the novel. But it really helped, because I was, you know, I like for people to get a sense of other places.
And that's like I said, I live vicariously through your travels and through that. This is interesting to learn how that book, that makes it so authentic. Oh, I love it. And so, well, Diane, I have to thank you again for being our guest today. We love, love, love having you on the show, and for writing such extraordinary stories with not only that feature dogs, but and such amazing characters that I know people such as myself get kind of attached to and interested in. But you also have great social awareness in your books that you incorporate into them. So we just love all your cozy mysteries. And Miss Olive and I, of course, you know, we're ardent readers of yours and big fans of your cozy mysteries, that for Miss Olive's favorite things, she has featured Confusion at the Convention as a holiday gift selection in the November-December holiday issue, where Miss Olive's favorite things is featured, Suncoast Pet Magazine.
Well, thank you. Thank you. And I understand that there's a new book out on Miss Olive in time for Christmas.
Yes.
And I'm hoping you'll send me all the information about that. I definitely want to put it in my newsletter, and I just wish you the best of luck with it. I love the other ones. They're charming.
Thank you.
To any of your listeners who haven't read them, it's well worth it.
Oh, thank you. That means so much coming from you. I thank you so, so, so very much. So, well, Diane, thank you. You have a great holiday season, and we will have you back in 2022.
Thank you so much, Sue.
Look
really
forward to it. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. We'll be back in just a moment.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, Stitcher, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
We would like to thank our guests this week. And also, as our doggy divas always say, Please love your pets because they love you unconditionally. And please remember to adopt, foster, spay, neuter, and microchip. And as always, please have a great Diva Week, everyone.
That's all for this episode of The Doggy Diva Show. To find out more, go to our website, thedoggydiva.com. Also, find us on our Facebook page, The Doggy Diva Show, and tell your fellow dog lovers about it. Don't miss Susan Marie, Miss Olive, and the Doggy Divas right here for the next episode. See you again soon.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.